Welcome to 15 Minutes in the Word with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Psalm 23, The Lord is My Shepherd. We all have moments in life when we feel overwhelmed, times when we need direction and protection. The psalmist David experienced these feelings, yet he also knew the one who could lead him through life's dark valleys. David knew that as our good shepherd, God wants to provide for us every single day. Today, Joyce takes a deeper look at David's Psalm 23, breaking it down verse by verse, revealing the freedom we can have when we follow God's leading. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching.
I'm teaching from the 23rd Psalm this weekend. This is kind of like our go-to Psalm. How many of you find that if you're really hurting and don't know what else to do, you'll go read Psalm 23? And so we're going to take a look at it. The Lord is my shepherd. Not just anybody's shepherd, but he's my shepherd. I shall not lack. We actually covered one verse last night, and this morning we're going to cover another half of a verse. You're like, well, how in the world do you plan to get done? Oh, well, you just don't know me very well. I'll get done, trust me. I'll get down to the end and then fast forward. But I shall not lack doesn't mean that I'm always going to have every single thing that I'd like to have the moment I'd like to have it, but it means that while I'm waiting on God to do the things that I would like him to do, I can still be content. How many of you think contentment is, don't you just get tired of always being dissatisfied? It's time to just be content, and that only comes from trusting God. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and the restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. Another translation says my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not because I've earned it, but for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil because you're with me. Your rod protects me. Your staff guides me. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely only goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord and in his presence forever. Now, verse 2, which we're not really going to teach on, but I am just going to mention, says, he makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. That's referring to entering the rest of God. Hebrews 4 teaches us about a supernatural, a Sabbath rest. It's not a rest from activity, but it's a rest in activity. In other words, I'm working up here, and what I do is a lot of work, but I rest in my work because internally I know that it's not my responsibility to make you like me and make you like what I say, and that's God's thing. I've done my part. I've studied, I've prayed, I've shown up, I'm prepared. So we can enter the rest of God when we know what to do and we know what not to try to do. Amen. And a lot of times what we do is we don't do what we should do and we try to do what only God can do. And then we just get all messed up in doing that. Entering the rest of God, it's a beautiful place because when you're in the rest of God, you trust that God's going to take care of things. You don't know how he's going to do it. You don't know what he's going to do. You don't know when he's going to do it. And you're really not even all that concerned about it because you have this faith that God is faithful and he will not fail you and let you down. So when you enter the rest of God, whatever that might be about the changes you need in your life, the changes you want to see in people, the salvation of your loved ones, your finances, let me tell you something. No matter what kind of a problem you have, God's got an answer. He's got a plan. But when we're all frustrated and upset, We can't receive the guidance of God. So we need to enter the rest of God. And I like this verse 2 because it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. So here's the thing. We can either choose to or he can make us lie down. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure some of you've been made to lie down. You got in a predicament where you had absolutely no choice but to wait on God. So he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and the restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself, my soul. Now, we're a tripart being. We are spiritual beings, first and foremost. We have a soul, and we live in our body. We pay way too much attention to our body. Not that we shouldn't take care of it, but we don't need to adore it and spend all the time that we do making on over it. We need to be more concerned about our spiritual life and our inner life. And so our soul is a part of us that we can spend a lifetime never really understanding, but it's really the part that controls us. Our soul is our mind, how we think, our will, what we want, the choices we make, and our emotions. And I think most of us, if we're honest, would say that we probably recognize that people are led more by how they feel probably than any other single thing. What they think and what they feel. I always call it, I want, I think, I feel. I want, I think, I feel. We spend more time telling God and everybody else what we want, what we think, and what we feel. And God wants to renew our mind, teach us how to think the way He thinks. He wants us to use our free will to choose His will. Free will is a great gift, but it is also a great responsibility. I'm actually thinking about writing a book on the free will of man because I think that we really need to understand the power of our choices and that really God is giving each one of us an opportunity. He doesn't make us do what He wants us to do. He didn't want robots. If He would have wanted robots, that's what He would have created. He could have easily created us with no free will where we had no choice but to do what He wanted us to. But that's not relationship. So He gave us this amazing free will, and now He says, I set before you life and death, good and evil. Here's what I'd like you to choose, and if you do, everything will go well with you. So we grow in our relationship with God to learn to think like Him, to learn to use our will to choose His will, and then we learn how to feel the heart of God and to feel the things that He feels and to enjoy feelings when they're good, but realize that they're fickle and not let them rule us and control us. So it's a lifetime job. How many of you know that's just not something that you get born again and next week that's all straightened out? That is a lifetime job. And that's good. That's good. We're in a process. And I'll tell you the truth, I've learned to enjoy it. I've learned to enjoy my walk with God. This maybe sound a little bit odd to you, but I've actually learned to enjoy it when I receive correction from God because it lets me know that He cares about me. If God didn't care about us, then He'd just leave us alone. Now, it's easier for me to receive correction from God than from people, I will say that. So it's really best to get it first from God because if you don't take it from Him, He will ultimately revert to working through people to tell you the same thing He tried to tell you 12 times that you ignored. Amen. So He wants to renew our mind. He wants us to use our will to choose His will and learn that feelings are really neither good nor bad. I mean, they can feel good, they can feel bad, but we just have to learn that you really have to stop letting your feelings vote and make the decisions in your life. I still, it amuses me when I think about a question that I was asked a few years back. Well, Joyce, how do you feel about all the traveling you have to do in order to do what you do? Well, you know, people think, oh, it must be so exciting to just travel all the time. Oh my gosh, the last thing in the world I want to do on vacation is go somewhere, you know? I mean, when you've been in hotel rooms for almost 40 years, my. And so the packing, the unpacking, I won't even go into it. But you know what? I liked my answer and it was an interesting response that came out of my soul when they said, how do you feel about all the traveling you have to do? And I said, you know what? I haven't asked myself in a long time. And maybe in order to get a breakthrough in your life and whatever area you're struggling with, you're gonna have to stop asking yourself how you feel about it. Come on. You're going to have to stop asking yourself how you feel about it and just know if this is the will of God, then I'm using my free will to choose His will And it doesn't really matter how I feel about it. This is what I'm going to do. Amen? Stop letting your feelings vote. I'll use another example. You know, I had a lot of problems and hurts from being abused sexually by my father. And so by the time Dave and I got married, I just wasn't that easy to deal with. And I don't think that Dave would have lasted 2 years in our marriage if he would have asked himself every day, how do I feel about the way she acts? He probably wouldn't have come home very much at night if he would have asked himself, well, how do I feel about going home tonight? But see, he was committed. He was committed to our marriage and our relationship. And I think we're all smart enough to realize that although there are times when you have to call it quits, people give up way too easy today on far too many things. Come on, clap if I'm right. And you know what? It's because we just ask ourselves too much how we feel. We have forgotten the power of commitment. Amen. I made my mind up 30 years ago, and I remember the verse that I was reading when I did. It's John 17:4. Jesus said, Father, glorify me, for I have completed the work that you have given me to do. And when I read that, I started to weep, and I said, God, if I don't do anything else in my life, I want to finish what you have given me to do. I want to finish my race and do all that you have asked me to do. So at that point, I had to stop voting on how I felt and what I thought and whether I liked it or not, and I just got committed. Some things are more exciting than other things. Some are harder than other things. I don't like it when I get attacked in the media. There's things about this I love. There's things about this that I don't love, but I'm going to finish. Amen. And I want to encourage you to be committed to what you believe God is asking you to do. If that's to be a mom, if it's to be a dad, if it's to own a business, if it's to be in ministry, if it's to get out of debt, if it's to get your health back, whatever it is, you need to be committed to do it, and don't give up after a couple of weeks because you don't feel like doing it anymore. And by the way, this is all biblical. No discipline for the present seems joyous. Nevertheless, later on, we're going to talk about that a little bit more in another session. So the mind has to be renewed. Our lives are wrong because our thinking's wrong. Our lives can't be right until our thinking is right. And the only way your mind can be renewed, the only way we can learn how to think right, is to learn what God has to say. And there's power in the word that renews our mind. Just you being here this weekend is going to help you think differently in some areas and see things differently than the way you did before. Simply because you have come and parked your body here, you've opened up your heart, and now the word of God is going in, and the word of God has power in it that makes changes in our lives.
Thanks for listening. No matter our life circumstances, we do not have to walk through them alone. Let's learn to trust the Lord, and instead of trying to be in control, we need to allow God to be our shepherd. Remember, He wants to guide us every day. As we trust Him with each step we take, we can know that God is leading us to victory, a victory and blessing that He promises everyone, eternal life with Him. For more resources from Joyce, visit joycemeyer.org.
Get your daily dose of encouragement with the Joyce Meyer Ministries app. Catch up on 7 days of Enjoying Everyday Life episodes. Grow deeper in God's Word with the daily devotional and question of the day. And enjoy all your favorite teachings from Joyce in your digital library. Find all this and more with the Joyce Meyer Ministries app. Search Joyce Meyer in your app store and download it today.
Thank you for listening to 15 Minutes in the Word with Joyce.